الحمد لله الحمد لله مدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته بأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد
الحمد لله, praise be to Allah. Allah's millions of times over shukr, we should be grateful. Allah's grace, His blessings, His mercy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the era, in the generation of ignorance and laziness and negligence, Allah has turned and focused our hearts towards His dhikr, His remembrance. And this blessed night, which is the night of Jummah, the night of Friday, because a great day is to come tomorrow. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to sit and discuss some words of deen, and He has given us tawfiq, ability to do His dhikr, remembrance. It is a principle of the human being that the more the human being, if he is in danger of something, if he is distressed about something, concerned about something, or he considers or thinks that something will give him a loss or give him a negative impact, or this is a dangerous thing for me, a negative thing for me, and this will give me pain or this will give me inconvenience, then the more that person will try to save himself from that thing. The more. So the more danger there is, or the more concept of threat, then the more he will try and attempt to evade that thing. If it's something that gives less loss, low category of loss, then he won't try much to evade it. If it gives more loss than the first thing, then he'll try more to save himself from that loss, from that negative impact. And in other words, that the more dangerous or threatening something is for a human being, then the person of aql, with intellect, will try, I need to save myself from this so it doesn't give me any loss. So the thing that we consider is most dangerous and threatening, we try to save ourselves from that, is maut, death. Is anything more dangerous than maut, death? And we try to leave illness so that we don't die. We try to evade accidents so that we don't pass away. We try to evade tragedy so that maut doesn't overtake us. So the conclusion here is that maut, death, is the most dangerous thing in our eyes, in our thinking. And to save ourselves from maut, death, obviously, then we try a lot of things. That whatever we consider that will make us die or pass away, then we'll never go down that road to get near to it. If the river is passing, we won't go near to it. Oh, I don't want to slip and then I fall into the river and drown. Don't want to pass away. Or if you know there's something dangerous and a creature, it will kill you. Oh, no, no, I won't go down that road. It's dangerous. I need to be saved. We try to save ourselves, don't we? But maut, there's something that's more dangerous than death. Death is nothing in comparison to this thing. That is such a dangerous thing, so dangerous and threatening, extremely dangerous a thing it is, that death says, oh, I'm gone in comparison to this. But after death, this dangerous thing, its work starts. After death. At the time of death, azab, punishment, going into the grave, a lot of punishment. When you get up in the day of Hashr, a lot of punishment. On the day of judgment, azab. Crossing the bridge of Sirat, azab, punishment. All the paths and the routes of the hereafter, azab, punishment, azab, punishment. Conclusion eventually is that the person is then thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So we hear in the Quran, isn't it? We read in the hadith, don't we? Yes, and we hear from the people speaking. So tell me, can there be a more dangerous thing than this that we've just discussed? So what thing can take us right to here? That, okay, we know that illness takes us to death, or cancer, or this illness, or heart attack, that all these things take a person to death. But what about all these phases after death, the most dangerous phases? What is the route that is there, and what is it taking us to there? Have we ever thought about what takes us to those points? The amount we think, oh, I'm going to die. But we don't think about the phases to come after that. How dangerous that death is there. We have to die. We have to go. But after that, these routes and phases, that qabr will become azab, the day of hashr azab, the fire of jahannam. There are levels in jahannam. And every level, that same thing will take us to those levels of hellfire. The same thing will take us to the levels of hellfire. And the worst places in hellfire, this thing will take us there as well. So now think and tell me. We're just talking, discussing. I'm not giving a speech here. I'm just inviting. Let's think. Let's analyze. You ponder. I will ponder. You think about it. I think about it. It's not a speech that I'm trying to convince you. You need to decide on our discussion. May Allah give us tawfiq. He's given us the tawfiq to sit here. So we should have some benefit by sitting here together, isn't it? Yeah, that we say and we just have a chit chat and we do zikr and we just disappear. No, Allah asks each every second, I want the hisab, that I sat you down on that day. Did you not have understanding that you could have spoken about something that would give you benefit? Isn't it? Allah sat us down, everyone's prayed isha, people have gone, 9 p.m. people have gone home, someone's sleeping, someone's doing this, someone's doing gap shop, chit chat, someone's having a cup of tea. Why is Allah Ta'ala sat us down in the masjid? Why are we sat in the masjid? What special connection do we have with Allah that we're still here? We have desires, go drink chai, tea, and have kadak chai at home, and have biscuits, and let's go to the takeaway and have some takeaway. It's a resting time of work from the morning, kids are waiting. We should do this, isn't it? As well, but no. So what power is it that makes us run to the masjid, and when the masjid, everyone's gone, Allah says, no, you sit and do my dhikr. What is that? This is one thing that the pious have said. This is the love, the daleel of Allah's love, the proof of Allah's love. We say that, who does Allah love? How do we know that Allah loves us? How do we know? This is the daleel, the proof that Allah loves you, that the fact that you're sitting him. So you should also do this now, that you should love Allah as well. Isn't it? It's wrong, isn't it, if we don't do that? Tell me, I speak about myself, that a sinful person like me doesn't have understanding, awareness, full of the sins. What power do I have that I can come and sit down and start doing dhikr? And after Isha I sit here, I'm tired. Yes, have I got strength and power? MashaAllah, you are pious people. I couldn't even think, imagine, that such a person, that how can I sit down and talk about deen, about akhirah, hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what fadl Allah has bestowed on the insan. This is all the daleel, the proof of Allah's love for his servant. But Allah invites that if I love you so much, oh foolish person, I love you so much despite you being so dirty, and I give you the tawfiq of such a great amal, then you also love me as well, isn't it? And then Allah says, Allah demands that then in return. How ungrateful is the human being, tell me. How ungrateful is the human being, that what we should do, the right thing is that Allah Ta'ala has seated us in such a majlis and we sit down. Then we should not leave empty handed. We should please Allah and depart. How should we please Allah? That any good deed, depart with the good deed. Good amal. Today's achievement is this, kamal. Today's achievement will be this, that all of us sat here, from all of us sat here now, don't leave empty handed in this night. Rather be grateful to Allah, do a shukr, and a good neck, good deed, depart with that good deed. And a good deed, shall I tell you what's a good deed now? The best good deed will be what? That learn the dhikr of Allah and leave this gathering, because this is the majlis of dhikr of Allah that Allah sent us to. So if Allah sent us to a feast, then we'll eat. We'd eat chicken and go. We'd eat pilau rice and go. Or biryani rice and go. Because Allah sent us to a majlis. So if you've come here for what purpose? Allah says, do my dhikr. So if Allah sent you to his dhikr, then learn dhikr and depart from the gathering. This is Allah's grateful. Then you will be grateful to it. If you just get up and go, dust your hands. Oh, I've got nothing. Allah says, subhanallah. Allah says, I laid out the dasturkhan. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These are those kalam, the farishte, the angels are desperate to recite them. Allah said, I enable you to recite them. Oh, foolish insan, you have no appreciation that you should have left after learning dhikr. That, oh, can you teach me dhikr? I'll do dhikr as well. This is the right of this majlis that we should at least fulfill. La in shakartum wa la zidannakum. Allah says, learn dhikr today and be grateful. Tomorrow Allah will raise you as the zakir in the hereafter. Zakir, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Okay, fine. Let's move on back to what I was saying. Our discussion is ongoing, the discussion that we were having. We need to continue. So there's only one thing I have to say. I don't go left and right. That same point I will continue with, and I'll summarize with that same point. Where I start, I will continue on the same topic. What topic were we discussing? That what is the most dangerous thing? This was the point, wasn't it? So what is that thing that's most dangerous of all, that due to which you get punishment in the grave, you get azab of Jahannam, it destroys a person? What is that thing that destroys us through all the phases? What is that called? If we know the name of it, then we'll be saved. If we have the understanding of it, then we'll be saved. Oh, it's so dangerous. Ooh, it's more dangerous than all these things that we discuss. I must be saved from this. And that is the sin. The sin, guna. Sin is what transforms into azab in the grave. Sin is what takes a person to hell. Sin is what destroys us, all of us, in all the different phases after the... Sin is what makes Allah unhappy. Sin is what makes a person far from Allah. Sin is what puts a veil between the hearts and Allah. Sin is what makes a person negligent. This is the sin that leads to all of this. So tell me, brothers, that it is most dangerous thing of all the sin. That how much should we be saving ourselves from? So now let's analyze ourselves a little bit. That how much do we try to save ourselves from sin? To leave death, run away from death, will do so much. Even if there's a heart attack, well, run. I haven't got a heart attack. Why? Oh, please test me. Do this test. Do this examination. Put this machine onto me. I don't want it that the heart attacks happen. Even if it's happened, because we're scared of death. Have we not thought of this much? That when you lie down on the bed, that have I just committed a sin today? Have I done an action that causes Allah's displeasure? Have I disconnected from Allah? We don't know anything at all. One thing now we've understood, that we are very foolish if we don't do this action. To the fullest extent, we should try our best to leave the sins, to save ourselves from sin. How dangerous is sin? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell us. As a Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he narrates in a hadith, it is in Musnad Ahmad, this hadith, the narration. What a great companion. He was the khatib. He was the scribe. As a Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And he said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that save yourself from the sin. This is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying to who? To me and you. Save yourself from the sin. Be very careful whilst you're in the world. Keep yourself away from the sin. Save yourself from the sin. Don't consider any sin as a minor. On every sin, not this is a small sin. A sin equals sin. That save yourself from the sin, because every sin. Listen, what a great statement. Because save yourself from the sin, because every sin, in fact, it invites the ghazab, the wrath of Allah. Tell me. Every sin, if you sin with the eyes, with the hand, with the mouth, if you're thinking as a sin, if you're walking towards sin, if you're sitting and sinning, if you're looking and sinning, if you're hinting and sinning, if you're gesturing and sinning, with the stomach you sin, with your hand, whatever sin there is, that sin, what will it do? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sin, it will invite Allah's ghadab, the wrath. And imagine the ghadab. What is ghadab? The wrath of Allah. Allah's anger. There's another hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has stated that such a big nation, the Bani Israel, this is a hadith in Musnad Ahmad as well. Allah himself states that, look, don't commit the sin. Do not disobey. If you do not obey me and you disobey and you commit the sin, then what will happen? Allah Ta'ala says. And if you obey me, Allah says, if you obey me, Allah says, if you obey my orders, then I become happy and pleased with you, Allah Ta'ala says. So Allahu Akbar. From what is Allah Ta'ala happy and pleased with a person? Obedience leads to Allah's pleasure. Allah says, if you obey me, then I will become happy and pleased with you. And when I am pleased and happy, listen to this hadith. What a beloved hadith this is. Beautiful. Allah says, when I become happy and content, then I give my barakat. I bestow my barakah. When my barakah comes, Allah says, then the situation of my barakah is that there is no limit, no end to my barakah. Allah says, no end to my barakah. Allahu Akbar. That barakah, there's no limit, there's no end when there's barakah due to my radha. And how does Allah's radha come? By leaving the sin, by detaching from the sins. And Allah says, if you commit the sins, if you go towards the sins, and if you commit the sins, then after committing the sins, remember, doesn't matter what type of sin you're committing, after you pray salah, hajj, or you've done umrah, you've done all these sins and you commit sins, no difference, we say, is a small sin. But remember Allah says, that sin will wipe away all the good deeds. And if there's ghazab, then where will the salah be useful? Where will the good deeds be useful? Nowhere. Where will that salah go? So at that time when the sin comes, it wipes away all the good actions. It wipes, it blots it all. So Allah says, when the sin comes, then what happens? Allah says, Allahu Akbar. Allah says, I become unhappy, angry. And when I'm angry, Allah says, then Allah says, I send my curse on that person. Allahu Akbar. Lanat. Think about it. Look at the situation of our salah. Look at our situation of no parda. Look at the situation of our faces, appearances. Look at our life and lifestyles. Look at our homes, our situation. Look at our society, state of affairs. Allah, may Allah forgive. Allah says, then I send curse on the person. Can the hadith be wrong? This is not a mufti's words that I'm sharing with you that you can criticize and analyze. This is not some alim scholar's words that I'm sharing with you. This is not some peer's words I'm telling you. This is not some elder's words I'm telling you. Who is speaking here? Allah and His Rasul. That's the hadith I'm telling you. One hadith was from Rasulullah and one hadith himself Allah is speaking. So a person who criticizes this and rejects these hadith is a disbeliever. Because he doesn't have belief in Allah. If he says, I don't believe in this, how can this be? How can this be? Why is this? Remember this. This spoils a person. Then he comes out of the fold of iman. Simple. He has no yakin in the hadith. Iman equals one standard. Remember this. Iman equals one standard. Allah's kitab, believe in Allah's kitab and believe in the words of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. And if a person doesn't have this inside me, then he is not a believer, not a mu'min, he is not a Muslim. He is iman, he is devoid of iman. Doesn't matter how much he talks, can. But if we hear this hadith, then listen attentively. Where is this hadith coming from? Not a mufti, faqir. This is a Musnad Ahmad hadith. It is confirmed. Confirm. And only that person will dare to reject who is devoid of iman. So what is stated here? That when a person disobeys, at home, outside, with his wife, children, friends, society, that if he disobeys Allah in any sort of way. And not just this, he looks, is he a big person? He's pious, a wali Allah, he's Hazrat Sahab. No differentiation. There's no standard of the sin. No standard. Hazrat Sahab is that person, Peer is that person, Alim is that person, Mufakir is that person, Shaykh al-Hadith is that person who does not commit the sin. Otherwise it's clear, that person, he's free. He's free. He's nothing at all, that person. That he's just by the name. Remember this one point. Remember this. Yes, these unique points I want to share with you, especially to explain. I want to discuss with you. Not explain to you, but I want to discuss with you. Whatever comes in my heart, I share with you. And inshallah, you will have heard this before. And from hadith I will speak, not that I'm having a chacha. Until now I'm basing what I'm saying on the hadith, isn't it? Yes. So what happens? You're listening, how severe is the sin? That where sin is committed, in the house there'll be ghazab. Where there's ghazab, there'll be lanat, curse. Where there's curse, then to the seven generations, Allah says, my curse continues to the seven generations. For the sake of Allah, save yourself from the sins. Save yourself from the sins. Imagine here that artificial happiness we are seeing around us is temporary. This is no connection with the deen. Just like this temporary cold climate, temporary warm climate, or cold or flu, these are temporary. These are permanent things Allah is explaining. Curse is permanent that will continue with the seven generations. They are effects of the curse. Effects. Long-lasting effects. In other words, that until seven generations of that person, his children, offspring will be disobedient. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give them hidayah at all. They become disbelievers, munafiqs. They give proof for their sin. And they leave Quran, they leave the hadith. They discard it to 7 generations of that family because he committed the sin and he disobeyed Allah. Till 7 generations after that. Effect. Do you understand this now? So most dangerous of all is not death, because for us, what is most dangerous? We say it's death. Death. But death is not dangerous. The most dangerous thing is what? It is sin. Guna. Sin. Next question now. That we know, how do we save ourselves from death? Hospitals, doctors, there are paths, aren't there? So my brothers, what is the way to save ourselves from the sin? Question. How do we do it? Give me the answer. Give me the answer. If you can't give the answer, then who will try to save himself from the sin? Leave the sins. Astaghfirullah. That means there's no way. If you do not try it with the dalil proof, I say this now. That person who does not try to leave the sins and he's sinful, he is sinful, he has not left the sin, sin is inside him. At some stage or level he is stuck in the sin if he's not trying to leave the sin. Doesn't matter what way the dunya looks at him, thinks he's high, but this is Quran. This is Quran. Person who has not tried to save himself from the sin, he's not made the effort, he's not trying. Most definitely somewhere on some level he's stuck in some form of sin. And he knows that there's sin inside him. And when will that sin come out? When will that sin be extracted? Because death will come. That when will the sin's originality and genuineness come out? After death, it will become apparent. Very important topic that's come in my mind today. Very important topic. Okay, let's go forward now. So how do we leave the sins? So this is a question mark. Tell me, give me the answer. How do we shun the sins? It cannot be that such a big dangerous thing, which is a fact that we are say we leave it. We shun it. Okay, if I announce don't sin anymore, sin is very dangerous. The Quran tells us then do tabligh. Will you leave the sins? No way. That this cannot make you. Show me that you can leave the sins. Because there's no capacity, quality in there. So it's important for us to discuss it so that you can become alert and try it. But through the discussion, you cannot leave the sins. If I say, don't lie, but I'll say, aren't you ashamed you're lying? Tell me, how much will that person leave the sin of lying? He won't. Just by being reminded. That by speaking, you can't leave the sin because this is not the root. This is not the method because you're given information by discussing. Say, subhanAllah. By talking, it's a good topic, isn't it? Today. Good topic, isn't it? So, this is just information dissemination. Quran gives information, hadith, maulana, scholars, pious elders, they explain. They tell us things. Leave sin, leave sin, leave sin, leave sin. But you can't leave the sin like that. Otherwise, after Jummah, everyone, mashallah, would be sat there as mutaki, wali Allah, kutub, ghaus, keeping the beards, everyone, mashallah, wearing imamas and following the sunnah. As soon as they were before, rather they leave worse than that. How? Why? Because Mawlana Sahib, the poor person who's explaining to them, they'll criticize him whilst they're leaving the masjid. Oh, look at him. What's he talking about, Mawlana Sahib? He doesn't know anything himself. Many times, 70% of the people, when they're leaving Jummah, the masjid, then that poor Mawlana Sahib, he's having a punishment at that time. They don't understand. Oh, he doesn't know anything. What he's talking about, he's illiterate. That's the Mawlana's just like that. Just talk about deen, leave all of that. Let's just go back to what we're doing. Why? It's not that because that Mawlana Sahib, poor soul, he said something wrong. No, he read the Quran correctly. But the tariqah of extracting the sins, who will tell you that? Who will tell you how to extract the sins? There's a tariqah methodology. We need to learn that, my brothers. So, for example, if you don't learn how to make the lassi, then how will you make the lassi and drink it? You got the ingredients. You got the meat, you got the onions, ingredients. But how will you cook the curry until you don't learn the recipe? You need the recipe to make the biryani, isn't it? So now you tell me, you can't leave the sins if you don't have the recipe. So come, let me explain you something fantastic today. Fantastic. Look. This is a very bad thing, the sins, because all our amal depend on leaving the sin. Jahannam was made due to the sins. If there was no sinning, there'd be no Jahannam, would there? Hellfire, there'd be just paradise. So then why would there be a need for hellfire? That one half, that portion would have gone. In the Quran, there'd be no mention of Jahannam, would there? If there was no sins. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So what a big point this is. Okay, sin. Why does a sin get committed? Let's come to this side now. Let's analyze, put it under the microscope. How did this come? Why am I committing sin? Why do I do wrong? I'm a mu'min, believer, Muslim. I read Quran, do hajj, umrah, tabliq, I do everything. Yaar, why do I commit sins? Why do I do wrong things? Come, I'll explain to you. If you understand, then accept it. If you don't like it, then leave it. But I'll explain to you anyhow. I'll explain to you. If you like it, accept it. If you don't, then leave it. So there are stages of sin. The sin isn't committed straight away. There are stages. What are the stages, levels? The zani doesn't do zina straight away. The murderer doesn't murder straight away, immediately. If a person is attracted to a lady, he doesn't run after her straight away. If he does a bad action, he doesn't do that dirty action straight away. If a person does a wrong action, he doesn't do it straight away. There's a stage, progression. Why does a person commit sin? What's the process? First of all, first and foremost, when a sin is committed, remember this. Listen carefully to what I'm saying, okay? MashaAllah. Listen carefully. First and foremost, when a person does wrong, waswasa comes. First stage of sinning is what? Is? First and foremost stage. First stage, level one. Stage one. Waswasa. It starts from here, the wrong action. Waswasa. So because the waswasa, when it comes into our mind, and our body is made, the brain, the waswasa comes, the negative thought. And because we don't know what is waswasa, how to control it, what should we do with that negative thought? Then it increases that waswasa, expands. Obviously, if you don't stop the waswasa, if you don't stop the water, water will continue to increase. So if the waswasa comes, negative thought comes, you don't stop it, then the waswasa will increase. It will expand and multiply inside you. Waswasa comes towards a bad thing. A bad action, small waswasa, small waswasa. And if you don't control it, immediately then that waswasa will be converted. It will continue. It will unravel, that waswasa. And suddenly that waswasa converts into a thought. Yeah? So from the waswasa, then the thought, it deepens, strengthens that thought. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So first evil comes, that thinking inclination, that transforms into thinking. Waswasa is weak in the initial stage. If we had that tariqah at that time, level one, stage one, we could have annulled it. We could have stamped on it. I'm going to get rid of this waswasa and get rid of it. But no one thinks about it. So always in our mind, the waswasas, they rotate, they revolve around, they circulate around us. Yeah. So if we don't stop the waswasa, then it becomes, gets a bit of strength. What do we call it then? The waswasa? What definition do we give it? A term? It's a thought. Becomes a thought. Say, mashallah. So now due to the thought, after the waswasa is converted into thinking, how do we stop the thinking? The negative thinking. Oh, it's just bad thinking. Negative thinking. If we don't control the negative thinking, then it converts, it multiplies, it increases, becomes more strong. And what does it become? Becomes an intention. An intention. You don't understand what I'm saying? Waswasa started. Where did it come to land into? A thought. And if you don't stop the thinking, you put no restrictions on the thinking, then it transforms into the intention. So what stage is that then? Stage 3. Level 3, isn't it? Level 1, waswasa. 2, thinking. 3 is the intention. So now you got stronger. The waswasa got stronger into thinking. The thinking got stronger into the intention. You know we say make intention, make intention. So intention means strengthen, conviction. Yes? So when you make intention, it's strong. Then suddenly, the first was waswasa, let's do zina. And you don't stop it. Then he starts thinking. Oh, come on, yaar. I can do it like this. Thinking becomes stronger, then makes intention. Oh, I'll do it. Who's going to stop me? Who's looking? So every sin progresses through this system. Remember this. First, the person never commits a sin. He's very weak at the waswasa stage. He's thinking. He's a coward. He doesn't go towards the sins. He's a coward. Then what does he do? He gets to the intention, level 3. When he gets to level 3, intention, there's no restriction. Then the intention's then converted, Allahu Akbar. Where does it go to? It comes into words. Words. And it adopts a form, an image, comes into words. Then that dirty thinking, the words, he expresses that with his tongue then, the negativity, with the tongue. If there's anger, he'll swear. If he's lying, he'll backbite. If there's fraud, then he'll come into the words, all those things. Allahu Akbar. What a big way that sin changes its form and imagery. What does a person become? What does he become? Becomes a sin. These are the levels of how a sin is formulated. Made, becomes a sin, progresses into a sin. Yes, so the intention, after intention come the words, physical expression. When the physical expression comes in words, then he's got strength. Due to the words, he starts with the words, then the strength increases, then the words become amal, the actions of the human being, deeds. Actions, which are recorded. Amal, we know. What does he become? The words become amal. He's a liar. He's backbiting. He's a zani, adulterer. Become amal. Actions, Allahu Akbar. Amal. They become amal. So when a person's actions are completed like this, then it becomes a conclusion, a destination. That level, that if you commit the sin, it progresses, comes eventually to the conclusion that he'll get this punishment in hellfire. He'll get this punishment in hellfire. So what does it become? All of this becomes a sin for that person, that individual. So this is the system, the progression of how sins are formulated and we commit the sins. May Allah Ta'ala prevent us from this. And this is not from today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beginning of time, He explained everything through the creation of us, Adam alayhi salam. When Allah said, don't go to this tree, what was the first thing? Tell me. What was the first thing? Alim scholars are sitting. Yes, waswasa, subhanallah. So there's dalil for what I'm saying, isn't it? Dalil. Proof. I'm not just chit-chatting, am I? There's dalil. Proof. Adam alayhi salam, what did he know? Then he realized this, that waswasa, what creates the waswasa? The same original enemy who said to Allah that I'm not going to leave this human being. That Allah give me this power so I can do this action. So that he commits the wrong. Go, Allah says, go. I set you free. Because he asked Allah for that power. So he started from there. First and foremost, I'll start from, so the generations and the generations will continue to do this action. So first he did this action with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. What did he do? Shaitan injected the waswasa. After waswasa, the same process followed with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Eventually what happened? The action was carried out. Then the conclusion carried after that. And the conclusion that we all sat in the world today. That's the conclusion. After that event. So should we learn this lesson? We say we read the Quran. What do we read in the Quran? Tell me. If a person doesn't even know that where did we start from, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he came to earth and why, then the first message that we've been given is that beware. Save yourself from the sin. Just like Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he made that action. You will also fall into that trap. Where will it start from? Waswasa will go and end physically, that you've eaten the wrong. You've eaten that plant, that tree. So who can claim, which human being can say that I do not commit the sins? I'm this, I'm that, I'm pious. Total nonsense and rubbish. Only that person can save himself from the sins who learns the formula that Allah has prescribed. Say subhanallah. That's it. Only that person can be saved from the sin. Who follows the formula that Allah has prescribed. And that is the walis of Allah who have carried out the work of the deen. This is the research and analysis of the walis of Allah. The nabis, the prophets, they come to teach this to mankind. The nabis, they came. What did they come to explain to mankind? Leave the sins. Every prophet in every age and era and century came in every decade that leave the sins. When that qawm, those people didn't accept, then Allah wiped away that nation. The whole Quran is full of Thamud and Nuh and Musa and all the events in the Quran. Allah explained, Allah just mentioned one thing, that don't commit the sin, don't do wrong. The conclusion of sin is that I'll wipe you away, Allah says. I'll wipe you away. Have we ever thought on this point? Tell me that we read the Quran, when we read the Quran. Yes, we'll read the case of Hazrat Amud, his people, and Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Shoaib alayhi salam. We say, oh, that's it. It's just a routine or tradition. But what we don't know, what are the reasons that all these events, Allah has given examples of Anbiya alayhi salam. Qul siru fil ardi, Allah says, go and see. The places, the conclusion, the look at the earth, what I did to those people, to this extent, Allah says, go and wander around the earth. I'll give you permission so you can have yaqeen that sin is not a minor thing. That not to observe parda is not a minor thing. To be immodest is not a minor thing. To be immodest, to listen to the music and the bang is not a little thing. It's not a minor mistake. The world will change. Remember this. Allah says, this is the dunya. Allah says, the system will change. Big, big sins will come and go. Allah says, what's more to come? Allah knows best. Mahdi al-Islam will come. Dajjal will come. There's a lengthy events will come. But us, we have one action Allah has given to us to do. That era, whatever generation you live in, you have to do one action. Allah says, you have to obey me and do not commit the sins. Shaitan, he makes us busy and occupied in amal, worshipping, and he makes us feel happy. That can you ever do an umrah after displeasing Allah? Can you ever cut your beard and stand in front of the Rawda Mubarak? Can a person stand there and make pictures? Can somebody stand there and listen to the phone and run the music? Today, that's what's happening in front of the Rawda Mubarak. A person standing there and doing these actions. In front of the Kaaba, can you do tawaf and do these sins? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened it. Ghazab's not come yet. Punishment's not come yet. But let's give examples that my ghazab will come. They will come due to these reasons. Remember this. No sin can a person commit. Remember this point. That sin will never wipe away. 70 years you can leave a person, 80 years. But the sins that you've committed, that Allah ta'ala definitely will repay that sin. Definitely. Even if you leave it for 70 years. This, except for one thing Allah's prepared. Except for one solution that Allah ta'ala has given that can wipe away the sin. Except one thing can wipe it away. How Allah is Rahim and merciful and Kareem, our Rabb, tell me. You committed zina, stealing, banditry, no parda, haram, everything you've done. And Allah ta'ala says, everything's recorded in my kitab. To this extent, that even if nobody knows what excesses you've done with your wife, nobody knows what oppression you've done to your wife, your daughter, no one stood there looking. No one, and you're big-headed, oh, no one's here to watch me. I can do what I want against my family. See what happens after them. And that person becomes Pharaoh at that time. He thinks he's got the power. He does everything wrong, oppression. But remember this now. The sins I've told you, that the ghadab, the punishment will come, the Allah Ta'ala's ghadab, wrath, and then Allah's curse comes, then destruction comes. This is the consequence of sin. By shaving the beard, cutting the beard, we become happy. We're happy. And taking the burqa off, we're happy. Oh, it's okay, I'll do what I want. By consuming haram, interest, we become happy. Become happy if you want. By swearing at people, criticizing people, and saying bad to people, dishonor them, become happy if you want. Become happy. But remember this one point. Remember this, that sins, consequences, you cannot evade them, and such a punishment I will give that we cannot imagine that this is the punishment. Not just this, that, for example, if you do this, I'll do this. No, no, no. Allah Ta'ala has His own style and methodology of how to return that. Allah has His own style and basis. So if you want to be saved from the sin, remember this, Allah's great achievement, Allah says, that doesn't matter how big a sin you've committed, even if it's a minor sin, small so-called sin, and if you keep it and keep on doing it, ghazab. And if you do the biggest sin, and if you want though, then it can be wiped away. How? By doing tawbah. Do tawbah, repent. Do repentance. That Allah will wipe away the sign of tawbah. Tawbah is done by three things, three steps. First, regret. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Subhanallah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Have regret and ask Allah for forgiveness due to your regret. And promise to Allah that I stop this sin straight away now. And make a promise that I will not commit that sin again. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, you said this. Inna Allah ghafurur raheem. I don't just forgive you. All your sins, I collect them together and I will transform them into good deeds. Subhanallah. This is today we are alive. We have a chance. Today, just today. This is the life. Right now. Right now. I can do this now. I've got the ability to do this now. You've got the ability to do now. You don't know tomorrow. You leave here now and you might not be alive. Don't leave it to tomorrow. So dangerous a fact, and you've given it a delay. You'll just keep delaying and you keep delaying. And the Quran has stated clearly that tawbah, such doors of repentance have opened. Allah says, that O believing women, that if you ever find my friend, waliyullah, just like Allah says in the Quran, then don't leave his side. Immediately go to him and say, please enable me to do tawbah. Allahu Akbar. And that tawbah will have a separate reward, Allah Ta'ala says. Separate reward. Surah Mumtahina explains this clearly. Clearly. Allah says, what you do, leave that. That's not tawbah. If Allah says that, where if you see, for example, any gathering, a wali Allah, first thing you do is go to the shaykh and request him The whole verse is there in Surah Mumtana. Allah says that, the Prophet of Allah, that when the believing women come to you, then accept the pledge of allegiance. And they'll make a promise that they will leave this and this and this. And Allah says, after that, such a big rule that when a person does bayah in the hands of a wali alam, then it's like in Medina, Rasulullah raises his hands to you, dua for that person. Allah says, do dua for this person. To his Nabi. That in Bolton he's doing tawbah, repentance, sat in the masjid on the night of Jummah. There's a man there, sat there, wali Allah, and he did tawbah through him. The Quran says, his Nabi Salasim, that do dua for that person. What a great reward, tell me, what a great reward for doing tawbah. Allah says himself, this individual has asked me for forgiveness. My Nabi, you, he's doing tawbah, he's asking for forgiveness. In Allah ghafurim, I'm Allah, Allah says. I am the creator. You think I'm going to leave him alone? Go, I've forgiven you and my mercy comes to you. But we don't do tawbah. All of these are verses of the words of the Quran that I'm sharing with you. All Quran. So we think the walis of Allah is something else. We think their work is something else. The function, the objective of the walis of Allah is they save us from sins, they enable us to do tawbah and they connect us to Allah. Yes, what other game do they know? No, wali Allah does anything else. The rest is all just games. Do this, that, playing games. There's no other duty of any other type or form in the dunya. Whenever wali Allah comes to the world, a true wali Allah, then in the whole world he brings the revolution with these three actions. SubhanAllah. He enables people to do tawbah, their life improves. Allahu Akbar. And he connects people to Allah. He introduces people to Allah. What a great statement, eh? This is Allah's, the function of the wali Allah. Cannot be that you go to wali Allah with the right niyyah, right intention, and you have this intention. My Hazrat Sahib said this, that it should be of the right intention, Allah's pleasure. Hereafter, inshallah, in the first sitting, you will take all these things with you. You do tawbah, and you please Allah, and Allah's forgiveness comes as well. But we go with other excuses of the dunya to wali Allah. I want you to do dua for me for this, do this and for me, pray for me, help me. I want this in the dunya. Thousands of dunyawi intentions. Say subhanAllah. So, do you understand what I'm saying? Are these beneficial words today? Discussion? So we haven't finished yet. So the point has come to this now, that sin, and to save yourself from the sins. This is what we said until now, isn't it? Yep. And I explained to you that why are sins committed. So one thing's left now. How do we save ourselves from the sins? SubhanAllah. How can we save ourselves from the sins? Leave the sins. Allah Ta'ala, what's the method? What's the formula? How do I leave the sins? I don't know. I don't understand. We read the Quran, even then I'm sinning. Even then the waswasa comes, doesn't it? Waswasa. Praying salah, still I'm not leaving the sins. Whatever comes to mind, I keep on doing it. What shall I do? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I am rahmatul alamin. Why did I come? I came to give this rahmah to you. Thus I came in this month, this blessed month, for this purpose. This is Rabiul Awwal. Yes, it wasn't there for making noise this month. It was for this message that come, Rabiul Awwal has come. Do tawbah, tawbah, repent, repent. And what I've formulated and explained to you, this is how you can shun the sins. But nobody does this action. Especially, I did dua Allah, as long as I'm in Rabiul Awwal, explain to me such things so I can benefit others with my discussion. So that Allah is happy and Allah's Rasul is happy that definitely we've taken a benefit from this great month. Yes, it's all due to the nisbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this nisbat of this blessed month. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu explained to us, he's explained and given us the solution. That when there's a waswasa in the qalbi khashiyataka, that when the waswasa comes in, have you read this hadith or not? Tell me. I've explained this before as well. That when there's waswasa in the heart, that, oh Allah, Allah's Nabi said dua, that these waswasa, they cannot come out of my heart. Allah says, I'll prepare for you. How? Through dhikrullah, they will be extracted from the heart. Dhikrullah. Why? Because waswasa, who brings the waswasa? Shaitan brings waswasa. And what will get rid of shaitan? Shaitan stood in front of Allah, Allah, give me permission, I won't leave these human beings. Allah says, go, I'll give you permission, but remember, you have got permission, you've got the power. But also to the human being, I'll give a bigger power than what I gave to you, and that is my dhikr, my remembrance. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala invited and called him. Kaleem, Allah spoke to him, Allah showed him everything, demonstrated, explained. And he was ready, okay, go and do the work now of the deen. What work? That Fir'aun, you need to wipe him away. Allah, such a big task. Fir'aun, how will I fight with him alone? Subhanallah. When Allah's friend, Wali Allah, is sent on a mission, he's alone. And he's given a target, this whole country is for you. Go and do the work of the deen there. Why? Because kalam Allah, Allah's word. Allah said, go fight with Fir'aun. And Musa said, okay Allah, you are telling me this, give me this task. And I cannot forget this. And nor can I say anything. And Fir'aun though, ooh, is a big power. He will overcome me, overwhelm me. Allah said, I've given you the staff, the stick. For which reason? Pick up your stick, your staff. He picked it up. Okay. Whatever you say, it will do. At that time, he didn't know, did he? That this was the stick of the Prophet. Subhanallah. Hazrat Musa, alayhi salam, he had the stick, but our Nabi had such a finger that he could split the moon. Our Nabi, salam. So this is the glory of our Nabi, salam. So that stick of Musa, alayhi salam, whatever you tell it to do, advisedly it will do. But even then he thought, how will I? Allah said, put your hand in. And it glowed. Allah said, look at this. This also will give you power. Okay? Now you're ready to go. He said, no. Not still yet. Why? He said, I can't speak. Yes? What a big mission I have to go on. Not a small thing, is it? I still can't do it. Allah said, okay. What is it you want? He said, just give me another person. Allah said, Harun. He's your brother. They go, I'll make him a Nabi as well. Subhanallah. So he's also a prophet, take him with you. So now both of together. Allah said, okay, fine, go. And he's got the stick now, you got everything, you got the energy. Musa said, listen. Allah said, listen, you got all of these things, but still it's not complete. The tools. Allah says that do not forget my dhikr, that when you are going to be successful, everything will be beneficial to you when you do my dhikr in parallel with everything. Allah says, وَلَا تَنِيَنَا ذِكْرِي. Not in one place, in various places Allah has mentioned this. This is my dhikr. Do not forget my dhikr, Allah says. So this dua Rasulullah said, that Allah, the negative thoughts in the heart, that from the waswasa of shaitan, that then creates the sins, because all sins are created, ghibat, stealing, zina, all sins are born through waswasa. So if you do not crush the waswasa, then it will multiply, become the action. So your job, as soon as the waswasa comes, immediately you need to stop the waswasa. And how do you stop it? Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. That's why the walis of Allah invite a person to his Allah's remembrance. So the wasawis of the heart can only be crushed when you do the dhikr of Allah. Then three things are created: khashiyat, courage, determination. And the third thing is that your desires, your thoughts, the dirty negative thoughts will change into good positive thoughts. Good and positive thoughts. Say Subhanallah. What a great clue our Rabb has given. You'll do dhikr, you remember Allah, and immediately Allah says in the Quran, various places, that when such a thing comes in the heart, immediately a person does dhikr, then he turns towards the good. There are many points Allah has mentioned in the Quran, clearly. Sin can never be committed. When a waswasa comes, swear, do this, divorce, do this to that person, commit, steal, become rich, or you're poor, take that person's money. When that waswasa comes, immediately start doing the dhikr of Allah. Start doing the dhikr of Allah. That, for example, not just with tasbih, you have to then immerse yourself in the dhikr of Allah at that time. Immerse yourself. Someone says, jinns come, or ghost comes, he's mad, or that's happened. Nothing at all. This is shaitan. This is shaitan. And he's whispering, there's no jinn, no ghost, no man, no depression. Nothing overwhelms a person. There's not just one shaitan. There are many different types of shaitan that affect a person. Many. Yes, so the dua here, they just do one action. When the waswasa comes, immediately start dhikr of Allah. With dhikr, three powers will generate. Power number one, khawf will come. When fear of Allah comes, then when can that person commit the sin? No, he'll just cool down straight away. And the strength will come into you to leave that sin. So first, khawf will come. And secondly, the power will come to leave the sin. And the third, your dirty thoughts, that you will change them into good, positive thoughts. You had a thought about doing zina. At that time you do dhikr, then you leave zina, alhamdulillah, then you'll start again the reward of Hajj and Umrah.
Who enables this? Dhikr of Allah enables this. So what do we learn? The real action is what? Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. So we don't do dhikr to become walis, sheikhs ourselves, pious people, or fakirs, or the zikr jamaat, or this amount, or cult. No, dhikr is not done for this reason. Dhikr is essential, compulsory for every individual, doesn't matter what he is. And whoever does dhikr, that's fine. And if he doesn't do dhikr, 100% he's stuck in some form of sin. Without being a dhakir, nobody can stop the sins. But if there's a dhakir, and when he does dhikr in the way that Allah has prescribed, not do the dhikr the way you want. That, for example, doctors, if you take this medicine, you'll be alright. But you need to take the medicine in the frequency, the amount, the concentration, the quantity the doctor prescribes, then it will benefit you. You immediately become sick, and you're not getting better, and the sickness is getting worse. You go to the doctor, he says, listen, that I gave you a capsule. Did you eat it? Yes, I eat it. How do you eat it? How did you take the capsule? You gave me two, I only take one. He says, okay, fine, then how will you get cured? I thought, maybe just one's enough. No, now I need to give you the 500 milligram dose, and you need to take more, the doctor says. So that's the situation. Allah says that, Ya ayyuladheena amanu, Allah says, dhikran kathira, wasabbihu bukratan wa asila. Allah is telling us Himself that remember me to get rid of the waswasa, do kathir dhikr, high quantity, not tasbih in your mouth, go to the wali Allah, learn the dhikr of the heart. The heart does dhikr kathir, not your hand. Your hands will get tired making you do dhikr, tasbih, tasbih, tasbih. Sometimes the tasbih runs, you don't know what you're doing, you can't do tasbih while you're sleeping. So the dhikr kathir instruction has come, that equals the dhikr of the heart. When you go to a wali Allah, it'll make your heart alive and your heart will start beating to the name of Allah. So Allah's prepared this, given the methodology. So when you start doing dhikr, then waswasa, where will they come? They'll come, because the shaitan's there. But when they come, they'll go. Because you, the waswasa, will not be able to get to amal. There are six levels, and they'll stop during those six levels. Remember this, the dhakir always stops the sin. That's why we don't do the dhikr sheets for nothing, tazkir sheets for nothing. That's why murids, when the sheikh gives an instruction, a task, when the sheikh... Because the sheikh, when he gives an instruction and a task, those murids who believe in the sheikh and they say this is correct and they have yaqeen in what the sheikh is saying, then they'll do exactly as the sheikh prescribes. Not one inch left or right do they go. They don't know. They know that if they go left or right 1 inch, then they are in danger. Totally, and no benefit will come to them. So the tazkiyah sheets are given to you, dhikr, tazkiyah sheets. Do this. This is not giving me a personal benefit. It's not a game. I've given it because bi-idhnillah, due to Allah's mercy, this is such a cure that will wipe away your sins. And with this, I'm telling you clearly that from my murids, only those people are progressing, only those people are progressing and succeeding, only those are doing the right actions, who according to what I say, they practice, and just like I've said, they complete the sheets and they're following the tazkiyah system. Those who are not doing this, then totally they are not getting any benefit from me. No benefit. But dhikr doesn't take a person to success. Let me explain this to you now. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Tasawwuf's principle, I'm telling you now. Tasawwuf's principle. Dhikrullah won't just give you benefit alone. Everyone does dhikr. Dhikrullah cannot take you to the end point. What is dhikrullah? Remember, subhanAllah. Dhikr is that action, it's a cure. And Shaykh, whatever he tells us is dhikr. Whatever he tells us is dhikr. Say subhanAllah. If I say, Mulana, get up. That straighten these shoes, yaar, and do this. This is dhikr. High level of dhikr. I know that I have to crush his desires, his nafs. I have to introduce him to Allah. Connect him to Allah. If I give him dhikr, 1,000 recite this, 20. But his takabbar will not go. If his takabbar does not evaporate, then he will not meet Allah. So Mulana sahab, what? Clean the shoes. Clean the shoes. You say, me? But I do dhikr. So this is his dhikr then at that time. If I say to him, don't do dhikr, but clean the shoes. Allahu Akbar. Then he's better than 100,000 other people who do dhikr recitation, because he knows. Yaqeen, he has belief on that word that I went to the sheikh. If he doesn't have belief in his sheikh, if he doesn't have belief and trust in his sheikh, if he doesn't have yaqeen, itiqad and love and fikr and khidmat, then he's wasting his time, sat there for waswasas and negative thoughts. The dhikr on its own, recitation, doesn't benefit you. I can show you many people who the sheikh doesn't prescribe dhikr. If he says, start feeding the langar, as in Azamuddin Awliya, when he went to Baba Fareed, did he give him dhikr? He said, go. He said, go and feed the people on my behalf. Feed the people on my behalf. Due to that food, he made him fana in Allah. Subhanallah. And this was the kamal. The Shaykh's instruction, how did he implement it? For many years he fed the people the langar. And you know, like, subhanallah, the thorns, and they pricked his feet, and the mother came and she said, what's happened to him? What have you done to this person? What have you done to my son? He said, nothing. He said, why doesn't he eat? He said that due to my instruction, I told him to feed the people, not to eat himself. He became so weak. This was the itiqad in the teacher, the belief in the teacher. So when you go to the Shaykh, go with belief and love and service and khidmat. You're not going for that Shaykh, you're going to find Allah. He is the wasila, the Shaykh is. The teacher is the means. You take all of the Quran, you kiss it. It's the wasila to attain Allah's nearness. All of these are wasilas, and all of our destination is what? One. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our destination. Yes? So Allah is our destination. We want to get close to Allah. Everything is a means to Allah. All are wasail. Someone through this wasila, my husband sahab said this, may I give everything for him. He did said, it's not just one path to get to Allah. Somebody goes through this wasila, somebody goes through this wasila, somebody goes through this path to get to Allah. There are many paths, but there's one destination, which is Allah, end point. So good discussion today, good words, good learning. So brothers, if you want to succeed, don't complain to me tomorrow. If you follow my guidance, guidelines, whatever the Shaykh says to you to do is dhikr, because your objective is not dhikr, doing dhikr on its own, worship. This is not your objective. Dhikr is not maqsood. It is not your objective. It's not your end. Allah is the objective. And the objective is Allah. The end point is Allah, Allah's happiness. And whatever your Shaykh tells you to do, that is the methodology to get there. You don't understand what I'm saying? So that's it. So do as I tell you. Whoever follows the guidelines will succeed. Whoever doesn't, it will fail. That was, there's no need for me to keep pushing and pushing. My task is to explain and tell you. If you don't understand, what can I do? If you don't believe, with takabbur, pride, you're mixed in bad talk, negative thought, no trust, no itamad, then you're losing. There's nothing at all. No success. Brothers, when you come, when you take Wali Allah's hand, then lose yourself in that and that's it. Because you've come for a great objective. This is the biggest objective of life, to please Allah. You've come towards that path. For this objective, you're still taking shortcuts when you're in the company of the Wali Allah. You're still doing fake drama and playing games. No, no, I'm not going to listen to Hazrat Sahib. Oh, no, I'll go Umrah and Hajj and I'll get success. Allahu Akbar. I think there was a Wali Allah who said a great beautiful statement once, that to see the didar of the face of the Shaykh of the Wali Allah, Hazrat Bau said, Hazrat Bau was a great Wali Allah, great Shaykh Wali Allah. He said that you keep on doing Hajj and Umrah many times over, that to see the sight of my Murshid gives me more than 100,000 Hajj and Umrah. When I see my Shaykh once, I get the thawab immediately of 100,000 Hajj and Umrah. Why? Because I'm seeking Allah's nearness, and he has belief in his Shaykh. Allah will get Allah's nearness through my Shaykh's company. This is the path. He's my wasila, my Shaykh. Yes, Allah says himself that look for my wasila so that you can come to me. So the Shaykh is not the objective. He's the wasila, the means. You don't worship the teacher. You don't run after him. He's the wasila. So if he's the wasila, then run after the guidance the wasila gives. And then the maqam will come, that the wasila disappears, then it's you and Allah. That's it. He's just the wasila. He's the means. But Allah says, first you must immerse yourself in the wasila and give your all, and then you will come towards me, Allah says. Do you understand what I'm saying? Work hard, my brothers. Life is very fastly moving. Death is very close. So tomorrow, if we don't do anything now, we'll lose. We come, we sit, we listen, we do everything, and we don't follow the guidance. Do exactly to what the words come out of my mouth. Practice that exactly. And remember this as well. If I say somebody this, somebody I say this, somebody this, don't look at other people. You think about yourself, that what was I told to do? I will do that. And if you forget, say, Hasab, you said to do this. Okay, then fine. If I told you, keep on doing it. Why? What is the point? Listen to this as well. That when a murid comes, the student, when the shaykh does the islah, Allah does the islah, wasila is the shaykh. So in the heart, Allah Ta'ala allows through the shaykh to say this to the student, and the shaykh says that, and the student practices it. So Allah inspires the teacher to advise the student. They give him this nasiha, give him this guidance, give him this explanation, give this hit. So the shaykh is the wasila. He is the means. He is just a human being, Allah Ta'ala has put in between to guide and explain with Allah's guidance. Otherwise Allah could say, kun, and everybody will be guided. There was no need for Nabi to come. Allah didn't need to send the Quran. Did Allah not have the power that He could put everyone on into line? No, it's the way, the system that Allah Ta'ala has made. It's the rule system. We need to follow that system. Take the qabr out, take the pride out, and become fakir, simple and humble. Remember, as Abdul Qadir Jilani, the peer of the peers, Ghawsh Pak, the sardar, the head of the mashaik, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, he asked, he said, Hazrat, tell me that to get to Allah, tell me the easy way to get to Allah. Somebody asked him, subhanAllah. He said, very simple formula. He said, yes, what is that? He said, Allahu Akbar. He said, that become dust and think yourself worse than the dog. Think yourself worse than the dog. Make yourself dust, soil. So the shaykh said this, and then practically the test came as well. He went past, and then there was an alcoholic. He had a bottle of alcohol in his hand, and he was drinking, and he sat there drinking alcohol. He said, oh, Abdul Qadir. He said, yeah, are you wali? Imagine that he is the shaykh, his jamaat, he's a wali Allah of his time. Practically, now look what happened. He stopped there. He said, yes. What is it? He said, oh, Abdul Qadir. He said, Allah will be merciful on you. Oh, Abdul Qadir. He said again, may Allah be graceful to you. Then he said again, oh, Abdul Qadir. Allah is Qadir. Then fourth time he said, oh, Abdul Qadir. And then he started to cry, Abdul Qadir. He was shrieking, screaming. And all the murideen, they're surprised that what an event that's come to my mind, I'm just sharing with you. And it just came suddenly in my mind. And they said, the students, Hazrat, what's happening to you here? That he's speaking and then you started to cry. He's an alcoholic. Why are you worried about what he's saying? He said, yes, he's alcoholic. First time when he called me, then he's questioned me and I didn't listen. What was the question he put to me? And he said, Abdul Qadir, that can Allah forgive me? And I said, yes, He can forgive you. Allah is all forgiving. Then he said, will Allah Ta'ala take me out of Jahannam? And I said, yes, Allah can take you out of Jahannam. Then he asked me a question, O Abdul Qadir, that can I become like you? SubhanAllah. What a great point, the alcoholic sitting there, and such a great wali Allah, he's saying to him, that can I become like you? And he wasn't angry, he wasn't unhappy with him. What did he say to him? He said, Allah is Qadir. And why can't He make you? Well, there's nothing special in me. What am I? And totally you can become like me. He said, Abdul Qadir, third time when he said, that can you become like me? Allahu Akbar. Is this possible that the alcohol that I'm drinking, that you could drink this alcohol? And just like you are pious, I'll become pious. Is it possible? And on that, he said, I realized. You understand my point? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can do everything He wants. May not happen that Abdul Qadir becomes that tomorrow. Then he started to cry and scream. He said, pick him up. So now you tell me that He invited how to be humble. Do we get the lesson how to be humble? Was there any takabbur in Abdul Qadir Jilani? Did he ever think that he was pious and he had reached the heights? Imagine though, despite the fact that great maqamiyat, how can I even, what can I say to you, what daraja, what levels, what ziyarah of Rasulullah, he had everything in his life, mushahidat, experiences, discussions, but look at his level of humbleness and humility, simplicity. He thought he's worse and he became afraid that I could become like this. He started to cry in front of Allah. So my brothers, that until humility and humbleness doesn't come into a person, he cannot progress. So all these qualities that I'm telling you, all of these points are due to the cleanliness of the batin. The batin, being clean. And these are the things, where do you learn these from? From the sohbah, the company of the wali Allah. You can't get this from a kitab, from books. You can't learn this directly yourself. From any place, if I say to you, oh, can you teach me, tell me what kitab to read, which book to read, so I can become humble and learn humility. No, you cannot learn these. All these things Allah Ta'ala is pointing to what? In islah of the batin and through the sohbah, the company of the wali Allah, the shaykh. Anyway, I'm tired as well now, alhamdulillah. It's very beautiful points. Let's request Allah. So I'll summarize again, because we've spoken a lot, and so shaitan makes us forget. So this discussion today was, topic was on sin, the subject of sin, which is the most dangerous thing of all is what? Is sin. And about sin, we don't think about sins at any time. We're not worried about sins. We're not concerned about sins. And we just sin gradually and easily we sin. We say, oh, they're small sins. What difference does it make? I'm just doing this. I'm doing pious actions. I'm worshipping. No, there's no explanation like this in deen. Because Allah says, sin, direct conclusion of sin is, it earns Allah's ghazab, Allah's anger, Allah's wrath, displeasure. When nafs invites you towards sin, then immediately understand that Allah's anger is coming. Immediately I stop the sin now. Allah's ghazab comes, and until the seven generations offspring of that person it will run, what's the solution? That do tawbah, istighfar. And you can only come to that stage to do that when you do the dhikr of Allah. Can you do tawbah? Otherwise you can't get the stage of repentance. I'm giving you nasiha here. Those people who don't do dhikr, then they will never be able to do this. The waswasa comes and then they're saved. No, they'll do tawbah. Never. Because the sins will continue. So as I said to you, the sins will progress through the stages. That's why it's lazim, compulsory, essential, that you take the company of a wali Allah, immediately learn the dhikr of Allah, and learn dhikr qalbi, dhikr of the heart. And that's the solution. Learn dhikr qalbi, not one, alhamdulillah. And he will give you various forms of dhikr. That's his task, that's his duty. You remember this, when you go to wali Allah, directly think that this one task of this teacher, that he will introduce me, connect me to Allah, whatever he says, I'm in his hands. If he says, do this, I will carry on doing, I won't stop. And successful is that student, that person. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the success on this, because the few moments of life that are left and the understanding, may Allah give us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Amin wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the rusul.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم رحمه الله وسلم تسليما دائما اللهم اغفر لنا سنغنا وسلمنا وحسلنا وعندنا خطرنا عمدنا كل سال اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت ما قلت ما أسررت ما أنت على وجهت المقدم أنت المؤخر ولا إله إلا أنت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيهم صدقين شهداء حسنى أولئك لديك اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في سمرته يا كريم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة انك انت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الايمان وامتنا على الايمان واشرنا يوم القيامة مع الايمان اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا الله اهدنا لسكون تفرما Ya Allah hume hidayat naseeb farma. Ya Allah hume seedhe raaste pe chala. Ya Allah hamare wasawason ko dur farma. Ya Allah hume wasawason ko dur farma. Ya Allah hume khwahishat ko nekiyon mein tabdeel farma de. Ae mere maula to hamari madad farma. Ya Allah to hamari madad farma. Ya Allah to hamari madad farma. Ya Allah jahannam ki aag se bacha le. Apni naraziyon se bacha le. Dozakh ke azab se bacha le. Qabr ke azab se bacha le. Ya Allah ye duniya bhi hamari ehsaan kar de. آخرت بھی آسان فرما دے. یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. یا کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. یا اللہ اپنے حبیب کو بھی راضی فرما دے. اے میرا مولا جنت میں اعلیٰ درجات نصیب فرما دے, جنت کے انعامات نصیب فرما دے. اے میرا مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے, اپنے رحم سے میرا مولا نیک عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. میرے مولا تلاوت قرآن نصیب فرما, قرآن پہ تدبر نصیب فرما, قرآن سے انس نصیب فرما, قرآن سے محبت نصیب فرما. قرآن ہمارا غور نہ کر دے, بچھونا کر دے میرا مولا. یا اللہ ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا, دل کا قرار بنا, ربیع قلب بنا, آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا. یا اللہ ہماری ہدایت کا ذریعہ اس قرآن کو بنا دے. اے میرا مولا ایک ایک لفظ ہماری ہدایت کا ذریعہ بنا دے, ہمارے دل میں اس کی محبت اتار دے, اس کی عظمت اتار دے, اس کی قدر ہمارے دل میں اتار دے میرا مولا. یا کریم تو اپنے فضل کرم سے ہماری اس دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اے میرا مولا ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما, ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے لواحقین کی بخشش فرما, ہمارے مرحومین کی بخشش فرما, ہمارے رشتہ داروں کی بخشش فرما, پوری امت کی بخشش فرما. یا اللہ جو پریشان ہیں ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما دے. یا اللہ جن کے دلوں کے اندر قرآن ان قرآن نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ان کے ذہن کو سکون عطا فرما, ان کے گھروں میں سکون نصیب فرما. میرے مولا ان کو ہدایت نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا جو بیمار ہیں جنہوں اپنے شفا کے لیے کیا, میرے مولا ان شفا کل نصیب فرما. ہر بیماری موذی مرض سے ان کو میرے مولا نجات نصیب فرما. یا رحیم اپنے فضل و کرم سے, اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے میرے مولا تو ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب العالمین. آمین.